Amen. Good evening. Here in a few minutes, we're going to get into 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you'd like to go ahead and turn in your Bibles. But I'm going to pray for that before we get into the Word. We're continuing in a series called Love God, Love People, and the message tonight I've titled The Nature of God's Love. Holy and Heavenly Father, God, we pray tonight that you would help us to get a better understanding of the immensity of your love for us, God. Lord, we know that you sent Jesus to save us from our sins, Lord, and from ourselves. And God, we just praise you for that and that you did that out of love. Lord, we thank you for the gift of the new life that you give us, that you offer to us, Lord. A new life that causes us to hunger for more of you. A new life that enables us, Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to really begin to know you. To really love you, God, and to express that love back to you and to other people. Lord, we're gathered here in Jesus' name. Our Savior, who is love personified, who is risen, who is alive, who is with us in this moment, Lord, in this place, in the person of the Holy Spirit, God. And Lord, we come here offering you ourselves tonight, Lord, that you would do a work in our hearts and in our minds and our lives, Lord, that you would be glorified. Lord, give us the same desire that you have to see people come to Jesus, to make the Savior known to those around us, Lord. God, we lift the service to you. We lift everything to you. We lay everything down before you, God, and surrender, knowing that your plans for us are even better than what we can imagine, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the Bible tells us that God is eternal, that God is all-powerful, that God is righteous, that he is holy, that he is just, that he is many wonderful things, including, the Bible says, God is love. God is love, and that is really great news. Because God is love, and because he's not only for us, but in the person of the Holy Spirit, when we are saved, we receive the indwelling Holy Spirit. And so, because God is actually in us, it makes it possible for us to actually love the way that God loves. The Holy Spirit in us makes it possible for us to love God back and to love other human beings in a supernatural way that we can't do in ourselves. And not only is it possible, we're actually responsible for that to happen. God commands it. We are responsible to love God and to love our fellow human beings, which may sound simplistic, but for a lot of us, there's a major problem. Even for those who are saved, there's a problem there that a lot of times, especially maybe in our culture, there's a lot of confusion over what that means. What does it mean to love someone? What is love? There is a lot of confusion in our culture. Turn on your TV and watch any program where the word love is used, and 9 times out of 10, it has nothing to do with biblical love. There's a lot of confusion. A lot of times what passes for love in our culture is very superficial. It's very hollow and selfish compared to the reality of the supernatural love of God. And I regularly speak to Christians and non-Christians both who have a very confused view of love, the nature of love. I'll give you an example, and this is hypothetical. This isn't real, but there was a pastor in a shopping mall, and he was walking along going to a store, and he passes by this young salesperson wearing a K-Lev shirt. You guys listen to K-Lev? Anybody? I prefer Moody, but K-Lev's cool. And he's wearing this Caleb shirt. It's a Christian music station. And this pastor thought it'd be funny to pretend that he didn't know what Caleb is. So he sees the shirt, he sees the young man, and he's like, "Hey, young man, hey, hold up. He said, I see your message on your shirt there. He said, I think I know what love is, but what's this K thing about? And the young man said, well, that's for confused. And the pastor said, well, you don't spell confused with a K. And the young man said, you don't know how confused I am about love. You know, it's true. We get very confused about love. Our hearts are deceitful. When we're prone to believe what we want to believe in a confused love with a capital K. And that's why tonight we need to return again to the Word of God and see what God has to say about love. What God has to say, that the author of love, the creator of love, the giver of love, what His Word says love is and the nature of it. You know, God's solution for confusion, whatever part of your life that is in, is the Word of God. That we go back to the Word of God. And so we don't want to be confused about something so important as love. And so we're going to look in the Scriptures tonight, not only to alleviate our confusion, but really the greatest reason to go to the Scriptures is that we want to know Jesus more. We want to experience more who Christ is. And so tonight we're going to look at the nature of Christian love in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 8. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. You can use whatever Bible you brought is fine. Lord willing, the slides will work, and we'll have that up here. So starting in verse 1, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, if I had such faith that I could move mountains but I didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. So clearly, the Apostle Paul here, the emphasis is the greatness, the surpassing greatness of love, that it is the greatest of all of the fruit of the Spirit that we can have is a supernatural, godly love, that it's the clearest indicator that we're saved by how we love. It's greater than eloquence. It's greater than intellectual achievement or knowledge, even knowledge of the Scriptures. It is greater than faith that moves mountains. It's greater than generosity. Love is greater than philanthropy. It's greater than martyrdom and sacrifice. It's love that really matters in all of our relationships, because God is love. In 1 Corinthians 13, you can substitute the name Jesus for the word love, and it fits perfectly. Jesus, our Lord Jesus, is God. God is love. Jesus is love. Verse 4, love is patient and kind. Love is patient. Anybody thankful Jesus is patient with you? Man, I am so glad that Jesus is patient all the time, every day, with me. There is no good day in my life if Jesus is not patient. The King James translation, it uses the phrase long-suffering. Jesus is long-suffering with people. In the time we live in, I think that's hard to grasp because we are so impatient. We are intensely impatient in our culture. We're impatient with people serving us meals. We're impatient with our kids. We're impatient with cashiers at the store. We're impatient especially with family members, with ourselves, with God. We are so impatient. And we have a critical need for patience. But God is patient. He is a patient God. He suffers long with people. Christ is a patient Savior. He waited on me so long to surrender. It wasn't that He wasn't nudging me to the cross. I just gave a lot of resistance. But he was so patient. He was patient with the apostles. Time and time again, we see in the scriptures how patient he is. He's patient with us, with every one of us. And Jesus Christ, in the person of the Holy Spirit, wants to help each of us to be patient with other people. According to a traditional Hebrew story, Abraham, the father of faith, Abraham was sitting outside his tent one evening, and there was this old man who was just weary with age and with traveling, and he came upon where Abraham was camped. And Abraham rushed out, and he greeted the old man, and he invited him to come in to the tent and to have a meal, and he washed his feet. He gave him food. He gave him drink. And the old man immediately began, he was hungry, and he began to eat, and he didn't say any prayer first. He didn't say any blessing first. And Abraham said, "Don't you worship God?" And the old traveler said, "I worship fire, and that's all I worship. I don't worship anything else other than fire, no other God." And when he heard this, Abraham became very angry with the man. And he grabbed the man, and he pulled him up, and he threw him out of the tent into the cold night air. And when the old man was gone, God called to his friend Abraham, and he asked, "Where's the stranger that I brought?" And Abraham said, "Well, I forced him out because he didn't worship you." And God said, "I have patiently put up with him for 80 years, and you couldn't suffer him for one night?" Jesus is always patient. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, he wants you to choose. You choose to be patient. Again, verse 4, love is patient and kind. Love is kind. God is so kind. God is always kind in all circumstances. And if you're a follower of Jesus and you want to show the world Jesus and the difference that he makes, you've got to have a life of kindness. You know, it's been said that kindness is a language that deaf people can hear. Kindness is a language that blind people see. Love does kindness, not a facade of niceness, but genuine kindness. You know, be kind to one another. It's a concept that kids learn in Sunday school, Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you. Be kind to one another. God wants us to be kind to everyone. God takes kindness so seriously, and I'm not going to read this tonight. You can check this out at home, but check out passages like Matthew 25, verses 34 through 46, where it talks about being rewarded based upon acts of kindness. It's serious. I mean, it'll knock you on your rear if you've had a day where you didn't show much kindness to anybody, when you see how serious God is about us being kind to people. You know, it's not like these rewards that God's talking about for our actions is whether you get your $3 allowance or not. These are eternal consequences for whether we approach people with kindness or not in our life. It's important to God. I read a story about an elderly lady named Mamie, and she went to the post office each week because she loved to interact with the employees there. They were just so nice to her and so kind to her. And one Christmas, the week before Christmas, she was sending out her Christmas cards, and she went to the post office, and there was a huge line there, and she's standing waiting to get stamps in this line, and the person next to her said, "Mamie, why don't you just go to the machine? Why don't you just, you can get the stamps right there. Why are you waiting in this line?" And she said, "Well, the machines don't ask me about my arthritis." You know, Jesus is always kind. He expressed kindness at the wedding in Cana with the widow of Nain by the way he fed the crowds who were hungry and came to him when his mother was there at the cross. He provided for her with the Apostle John to help care for her again and again. Even the repentant thief next to him, he expressed kindness. Jesus is always kind to you, and he wants you to choose and the power of the Holy Spirit to be kind to the people around you. God then instructs us here through the Apostle Paul's writing what love is not. And the rest of verse 4 there, and then verses 5 and 6, and we'll possibly unpack that in a message a different week, but the passage says, love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. And then back to the positive nature of what Christian love is in verse 7. Love never gives up. Love never gives up. Some translations say love bears all things. The New English Bible translates this, there's nothing love cannot face. There's nothing love cannot face. Another translator wrote, love knows no limit to its endurance. Love never gives up. God never gives up. Love carries not only your burden, but the burden of those around you, that carries the burdens of others cheerfully and doesn't give up in doing that. Love overlooks sin and faults in others. Not that those faults don't exist or that they don't matter, but they pale in comparison to the power of the love of God. God sent his Son not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But we all don't get saved right away. And God doesn't give up on us. He hounds us. I think that's one of the reasons why sinners like me are so attracted to Jesus. He just doesn't give up. I mean, there's so many people in your life that eventually get disappointed enough or hurt enough or whatever that they walk away and they give up on you. Friends, even family. Jesus never does that. He never gives up. Despite how unlovely I am, he never gives up. He keeps pursuing. Pastor Joe Stoll, I know some of you remember Joe Stoll, used to be at Bible Baptist here in Kokomo years ago. He told the story of the Greek Olympics. There was a race that the Greeks had in the Olympics that was unique. The winner of this race, it wasn't the one who crossed a finish line first. The winner was the one who finished with their torch that they were carrying still lit. So they would run and run and run until there was one left whose torch was still going. And Pastor Stoll said, I want to run all the way with the flame of my torch still burning, this Christian race of life. What a great picture of Jesus who never stops pursuing us in love and pursuing those family members that maybe we feel like, how can I keep praying? Lord, it's been 20 years, it's been 30 years, they still haven't repented. Jesus is not ready to give up. And you need to choose not to give up. Love never loses faith. Love never loses faith. God's love is eager to believe the best. Eager to believe the best. That means that godly love, Christian love, is not suspicious. Christian love doesn't going around acting like a prosecuting attorney in our thought life or a detective trying to figure out why that person's to blame and why I am right. Preparing mental arguments with people before you even have a conversation with them. Anybody ever go there? That's not of God. I do. Christian love, the love of Jesus, longs to trust. Because our faith is in God. It's not in the person that we're dealing with. We can run the risk of being hurt because our faith is not in them. It's in Him. God can change them. God will in His timing, if they're willing. But Jesus could look at people like Peter, who was very broken and very unstable, and say, he's a solid rock. Seeing who he's going to make him into, continuing to give him responsibilities and trust. You know, Jesus could take a broken woman at a well and see in her a great witness to who the Messiah is and his saving, redemptive power. Christian love has a way of looking at others and seeing where they're not yet, the outcome that God can make in their life. Eager to believe what God can do in their life. And because God is that way, because His love is that way, that's why He can say to us and to others, let your guard down. I'm looking and seeing who I'm going to make you into. I'm seeing the best. I know you're broken, but let your guard down. Just come to me how you are. And that's why other people, Lord help us, can come through this door who are broken like we are, and we can show them the radical love of Jesus Christ, because we see them with the eyes of love that God sees them with. And they can come to Jesus with their fear and guilt and shame, just like I do, and He'll do something beautiful for them. You know, part of God's love is exercising faith and trust based upon the nature of God, not the person we're talking to. There's a story about a house that caught on fire one night. There was a young boy in the home, and he was forced to go out onto the roof to escape the fire. And his dad had already gone out. There was nobody else in the house, and his dad was outside, and there was a lot of smoke and a lot of flame and blackness, and the father was down below yelling at his son, jump! I'll catch you! Jump! And the boy said, I'm afraid, Dad. I can't. I don't see you. There's too much smoke, and I don't know where you are. And the dad said, jump, I will catch you. I see you, and that's all that matters. Jesus sees you. And He believes the best for you, even when you don't believe it for yourself. You choose to see other people that way. Love is always hopeful. Love is always hopeful. That's convicting for me. Right? God's love never ceases to hope. Jesus never gives up hope for you and for me. And God's love in us, in the power of the Holy Spirit, God's love in us gives a hope that can't be extinguished. And it believes that no person is a hopeless case. There are times I wish you guys could have seen me at 20 years old. Not really. Yeah. Hopeless case. But God. The love of God believes that no one is hopeless. That no situation is hopeless. If you abide in Jesus, if you abide in the power of His love for you, there is nothing that is hopeless. Ever. Gary Thomas, a Christian author, he wrote this article in Christianity Today. I think this was an event that happened in 82. Some of you are probably young enough, or maybe you just aren't a student of world history or whatever, but there was a leader in the Soviet Union many years ago named Leonid Brezhnev. If some of you guys remember him back in the 80s, 70s and 80s, Leonid Brezhnev. The Soviet Union, if you're not familiar with world history, in the 60s and 70s and 80s, the Soviet Union was a powerhouse of secularism. It was an incredible force of atheism. It was a rival militarily to the United States. It was a radical socialist empire that was incredibly strong. And Leonid Brezhnev was the undisputed leader of the Soviet Union, the leader of the greatest atheistic empire in the world. And he died in 82. Vice President George Bush, H.W. Bush, went to the funeral to represent the United States, and he saw something there that he was shocked by. As the funeral was happening, they were getting near the close of the funeral, and they were going to put the lid on the coffin. All these multitudes had come by. It had all these huge military parades, and Leonid Brezhnev's wife went up to the coffin, and they were giving her a few moments just to herself with her departed husband. And she did something incredibly courageous. She did the sign of a cross on her husband's chest. This is the wife of the leader of the most God-rejecting empire in the world. And she still had hope that somehow her husband was wrong. She still had hope that there was a life beyond this life. She still had hope that there's a person named Jesus represented by that cross that somehow might have mercy. Even there, Jesus gives hope. Jesus is always hopeful for you. And he wants you to choose hope in your life, for you to choose to be hopeful no matter what the situation. Love endures every circumstance. Love endures every circumstance. God's love gives us the power to endure. Christian love doesn't surrender. I don't want to run too long on personal illustrations, but I remember when my first wife, Molly, was in the hospital, and this was just weeks before she went home to be with the Lord from cancer. I remember being in, we were at IU Med Center, and they were doing experimental chemotherapies, mainly just to see what happens with the medicine. They didn't really have hope for saving her. The doctors did, not with medicine. But I was in the hallway outside of her room, and I remember some family members saying, "How are you enduring this? You know, you are so strong." My strength meter was on zero. "How are you holding up under these months of suffering?" And I told him, it's not me. I've been empty of my strength for a long time. And it's Christ. And the power of his Spirit and his sustaining love, we can endure so much. It's more than just a passive resignation. It's an inner strength. It's a triumphant inner strength that we can persevere. And it doesn't give up hoping and praying and believing and crying out to God. Verse 8. "Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever." Jesus will last forever. The love of God will last forever. And you can choose to live in that love for all of eternity. You can choose to be a recipient of the love of God for all of eternity, if you haven't already. Through the cross of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus, you have that choice. I'm going to pray for us in closing, and worship team, you can come up. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for a reminder, God, from your word of the real nature of your love. A love that is powerful. A love that transforms. But God, we know that we have to choose to receive that product of your love, that product of going to the cross and taking our sin upon yourself. We have to choose for ourselves to say, I'm done with running my life. I'm done with running towards sin. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you are the one who can save me. And so God, I turn to you. I trust you to take my sins, Lord, to let your blood cover me with forgiveness. And because you were raised again, Lord Jesus, I believe I can have eternal life too. God, we pray that if there's anybody here tonight who has not received that gift, Lord, right now, that you would do what only you can do in the power of your Spirit, Lord, that you would draw their heart close to your heart, that your word would come alive in their spirit, Lord, that you would begin rewiring their thinking, Lord, to think the way that you think and draw them close to you in salvation, Lord. And Father, for all of us here tonight, Lord, I know that each of us want to represent you well, and each of us in our flesh can't do it. So Jesus, as we engage people this week in our home, in our marriage, at our school, in our job, Lord, and in church life with our neighbors, God, even in the most difficult relationships, even the ones that have these sin strongholds of these patterns of unforgiveness, God, in each one, Lord, I pray you give us the choice and the power of your Spirit in Jesus' name to choose to love. God, help us to do it. Help us to choose to love the most unlovable around us, just as you choose to love unlovable people like me. And glorify yourself as people see your love in us. Lord, draw them to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.